Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Terry Stotts with a lineup change. Hassan Whiteside getting the start. Lillard doesn't seem at all bothered by a tape or dislocated finger. He and CJ McCollum looking much better. Carmelo Anthony, he had 13 points in the third from enough. LeBron James and Anthony Davis simply woke up.
From the hardwood in Orlando to the fans in Portland, it's time for another Rip City playoff run. From the Coin Sports Team, this is Blazers in the Bubble on the Coin Podcast Network.
I've been in worse situations in the series, so 2-1 going into game four, we gotta get the next game. You know, we get the next one, and it's a tie series.
What is up, everybody? Marcus Greaves here with AJ McCord. AJ, Blazers, game three, fell to the Lakers, 116-108. AJ, I want to get your thoughts on that. And just in general, obviously, you watched the game. You kind of saw the way it was being played out. They were going back and forth for a little bit, but it just didn't really seem like the Blazers had it in them in game three. What were your overall thoughts on that game?
Okay, well, first, I have to apologize because if it sounds bizarre, I'm driving into the station right now to cover the Timbers game. I was on the Blazers availability this morning. So just to like pull back the curtain a little bit here, life is hectic. And, so if you hear weird noises, that's what's going on. You kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, it really looked like the Trailblazers played two great quarters of basketball and then were tired. The first half was great. The Blazers were going back and forth. Dame and CJ were cooking. Everyone was fine. And then they came out of half and it was like, whatever the answer the Lakers had, you know, Yusuf Nurkic just was being asked to do a lot. He was being asked to defend the rim. He was being asked to set the pick and rolls. He was asked, you know, I mean, everything that Nurk was being asked to do was just a lot. And you could tell by the end of it, he just seemed tired. And Dame said it after the game that we're asking him to do a lot. And so it really felt like the Blazers just kind of ran out of steam in that second half. And that's when, you know, LeBron and AD ratcheted it up to that next level. Whereas I think a lot of the Blazers found themselves in some foul trouble early on. You know, Hassan picked up some fouls, Nurk picked up some fouls, Melo picked up some fouls. Like all these guys are picking up, you know, two fouls in the first quarter. Well, that changes how you play the game. That changes the number of minutes that you're going to get. And so then all of a sudden you got Anthony Simons and Mario Hezonja getting first quarter minutes. Well, it's not great.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of hit it on the head too, AJ, talking about not just the free throws, but the energy. I'll start with the free throws. For me was, I mean, in the first half, the whistles were being blown left and right for the Lakers, mm-hmm. which was at halftime, the Lakers shot 31 free throws. Blazers shot 8. So yeah. You're right. It just changes the way you play the game. You can't be as aggressive defensively. You see a lot of the time where when guys get in foul trouble, like I said, you can't play aggressively. And more importantly, you kind of just have to back off a little bit and hope that someone can come over for help defense and, you know, kind of pick up the slack on the aggression. And also the energy, AJ, that's something that's so interesting because when you look at some of the Blazers games throughout the bubble, all of them have been neck and neck, you know, 130, mm-hmm. say 134 to 132, games down to the wire, grinded out, games playing, you know, 40 plus minutes. Along with, you know, Nurk and CJ, all those guys they're putting a lot of minutes on their body compared to the Lakers, where they only need to win one game to steal that one seed. So once they steal the one seed, you know, they could rest the starters, LeBron, AD, all those guys who have that experience in the playoffs. And, you know, a healthy LeBron is a dangerous LeBron, AJ. And I want to get your thoughts on the rebounding. The Blazers have been pretty dominant just throughout returning to the bubble, especially with Yusuf Nurkic being back and Hassan Whiteside, and when they had Zach Collins, just dominating the rebounding aspect of the game. But now it looks like, you know, in that last game, game three, that was not the case. And I think it really showed.
Totally. I think they really missed Zach Collins. Collins played in portions of every seeding game, including, I believe, the play-in game was when he finally was unable to go anymore. And whether he was as effective as he wanted to be or not, that length on the court is threatening. And then you have Hassan Whiteside coming off the bench. Well, now you look at the lineup and it's just not quite as threatening is what we'll say. And so against a very big Lakers team, it requires a lot of Hassan and of Nurk. I think the rebounding is critical, and it's a matter of, you know, Terry Stotts said after, I believe it was game two, he said, you know, this isn't just our bigs' fault, like that we got out rebounded so badly. And it's not, because watching last night, you saw that there was some offensive, it's not like every offensive rebound or defensive one for that matter, it's not like it comes right back under the rim. Like they go back other parts of the basketball court. And it's a matter of hustle from the guards who, or maybe not even hustle, but like awareness from the guards of recognizing, oh, this is a place it could be. Let me position myself, assuming the basketball is going to miss. Like, if I assume it's going to miss, where do I set up to succeed? And it felt like that effort was just not quite as capable of being present in the second half, which I think comes back to a little bit of exhaustion. Like you said, the Lakers have been resting everybody. They've had this thing locked up from like July 31st, whereas Portland has just been grinded out. And we saw in game one, that was a benefit because the Lakers took a second to like remember, this is playoff basketball. We should probably figure it out.
Yeah.
Whereas the Blazers were like, oh, no, we know. We know exactly how hard we have to play. Yeah. So it's just going to be an interesting thing to see then, does that need to play as hard as they have needed to in the last 3 weeks, is that going to now turn into a disadvantage because of how tired they are?
Absolutely. And somebody who's kind of been picking up the slack for the Blazers a little bit, at least bench-wise, is Gary Trent. Hey, I know you talked to Gary Trent today. I mean, we talked about plenty of times on Game On and just in general when watching the games. It's that guy just has that dog mentality. Mm-hmm. There's something about him, too, where it says a lot about a player where, especially when you're young and you're willing to guard those guys like LeBron James, right? And I know LeBron went off for 38 points yesterday. He had like 12 boards and 8 assists. But I mean, he's a top 3 player of all time. And the fact that Gary Trent is willing to step up and take up that challenge night in and night out is extremely impressive. What did he say today, AJ? Maybe something that caught your mind.
You know, he was asked, what do you need to do to win game 4? And he said, you know what? We've got to control the controllables and worry about us. Play our basketball. And that like seems like a pretty cut and dry answer. But I think that was sort of a disassociation with the foul trouble that they found themselves in and say, listen, we can't control how the refs call the game. We try to adapt to it. We try to prepare for it, but we cannot control how the refs call the game. We can't do that. We just have to focus on playing our brand of basketball. And for Gary Trent, especially tasked with guarding LeBron, that is not going to be an easy task.
Yeah.
But like you said, he is one of the most pesky defenders in the league. He's very annoying to have guarding you. I think that that's all you can do with LeBron is be annoying and be sort of in his face and try to make that work. I think Gary has a really tough task, but Dame said it even before the series got underway. He said, you're not going to stop LeBron James from being LeBron James. He is one of the best players to ever walk onto the basketball court. How do you force LeBron James to be mediocre, A, and then B, keep his comrades from being great? Game 2, it was Anthony Davis, who was really, really good. And last night, AD had another good game. So the Blazers are sort of in a position where they have to pick their poison. And it can't always be slowing down LeBron. LeBron's 38 points certainly helped last night, but Anthony Davis was a massive part as well. Then you had Caldwell Pope draining threes, and you're like, well, perimeter defense yet again.
You know, I know we just talked about defensively, AJ, but offensively too, for Gary Trent, he was a little cold yesterday, and he's kind of really been a spark, like we were saying, from the Blazers just off the bench. He had some phenomenal play in the bubble in general, and he only missed a small amount of the three-pointers that he took, but they definitely need that energy, AJ, and that's another big key for me going into game 4. You got to keep that same energy, right? You have to.
Totally.
You have to find a way to light a spark. I know a lot of the players around the NBA have been kind of talking about how weird it is not having fans and how hard it is for them to play with no fans. But when you have a guy like, you know, Gary Trent or Damian Lillard, where obviously their back is up against the wall right now, but I think that this is a perfect time for, you know, you have someone like Damian Lillard, you have someone like CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic, Gary Trent, those guys who we know that they can play and how high of a level they can play at, but you need them to pick up their game. Even Melo, I think it was 9 for 20 in that game 1. when the Blazers won, I mean, Melo was on fire. He gave LeBron a run for his money defensively as well. And I think those can be some things that are super important. AJ, just a couple more things before we head out. But first, let's pause for a quick commercial break.
The Coin Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home Coin Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the Coin Podcasts in one place. The brand new Coin Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search Coin, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everybody. AJ, we're talking about Blazers in game three. It was a tough loss to the Lakers, 116 to 108. What are your keys for game four? I mean, just give me in general.
I think for the Blazers, you have to dig deep. The hardest thing about the digging deep is that it's one thing to be like, okay, I'm going to dig deep and I know if I win this game, if I give everything I've got, then I can relax, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. The Blazers have to win 3 more games against the Los Angeles Lakers. And then if they can do that, there are a whole slew of other teams who would love to knock them out of the bubble. I think for Portland, it is somehow finding this mindset of, I'm not going to worry about what's next. I'm going to worry about this game, and I'm going to give everything I have in this game. And then I'm going to rely on all of my training, all of the time, all of the reps that I put in during quarantine. Because if you talk to any of these players, from Anthony Simons to Damian Lillard, they have all talked about the effort and the time and the work that they put in. And so instead of worrying about big picture, how far they have to go to try and bring home a title, you got to focus on one game and you got to decide what your poison is early and you got to stick with it. So if you're going to be giving up perimeter threes, go for it. Give it up. Dare the Lakers, who are not a great shooting team, make that their poison. I'm going to dare you to beat me with your 3-point shots. If you can't do that, you won't win the game. But you will not push me around. You will not beat me in the paint. And I think that's going to be so critical for Portland to figure out what is the evil they can live with and what is the evil that they have to address in order to come away with a victory.
Just to build off that, I'm going to have to say mine is keep the same energy, but more importantly for one player in particular, I know that's a team sport and everything like that, but the guy, when he is on fire and he is he's putting in an effort on both sides of the floor, is unreal, and he makes such a huge impact on the game, is Hassan Whiteside.
Yes.
Hassan Whiteside in game one was feeling good. He was active defensively. He was talking. He was blocking shots. This guy sent LeBron James's layups the complete opposite direction probably 3 or 4 times. And not a lot of people can do that with how strong, athletic, and obviously how smart LeBron is. He's precise with his moves. He knows when to attack and how to attack. But when Hassan Whiteside, I mean, what is he, 7'3"? He's athletic. He just needs to have that energy. He needs to just be that spark for the Blazers. I mean, we know what he can do. We saw it throughout the entire season. He was the best shot blocker in the league. He has to be a spark for him, because in a time where, you know, Dame is obviously dropping the points that he's dropping, if Hassan goes in there and defensively he is the anchor for that team, it's almost impossible for somebody to beat them. I mean, Yusuf can do what he does. We already know what Dame does. CJ, all these guys. But if Hassan Whiteside goes out there and plays with 100% effort, honestly, I'm not sure any team could beat them. So
totally. And I think that also the weight that it is then lifted off of everybody else because Hassan is playing so well cannot be understated, right? If Hassan is playing well, it means Nurk can let his foot off the gas a little bit. It means Dame can let his foot off the gas a little bit when you have the horse in the paint. But when it's not the horse and it's Hassan, whether it's he's struggling to pick up the assignment or he's not engaged, I think you're right. I think Hassan Whiteside is a critical part of this series for Portland, and gonna have to see who shows up tomorrow and how ready they are, because tomorrow's a big one. I think if you go down 3-1 against the Lakers, you're in some trouble. And in fact, 2-1 against LeBron, you're already in some trouble, because I saw some stat that he's like 14-2 or something like that in playoff series that his team leads 2-1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's either 14-2 or 13-2. So, and that's just a 2-1 lead, which for those keeping track at home is, yes, the current lead of the Lakers over the Blazers. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, that's all we have for you guys. AJ, as always, thank you so much for hopping on and talking with us. You can find AJ on Twitter at AJ_McCord. That is AJ_MCCORD. You can find me at Marcus_Greens_. AJ, thank you so much for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Anytime, my man. I'll catch up with you soon.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.